There's actually a third verse for that song, and it was written by a lady named Betty Bender. And she, I don't know if she was a secretary or what, at the West Seventh Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. And she had come up to do a ladies' day at the Burlington, Vermont Church of Christ. And so we got to meet her there, and she was handing out cassette tapes. We'll explain that later, what that is. But it was Granny Betty's stories. And I think we probably wore that tape out in our van, playing it for the kids when they were little, over and over and over, little stories from when she was a little girl. And it was just a wonderful thing. But there is a third verse. I think if you look that song up in the song, hymnal, you might see Betty Bender at the bottom if it's the same hymnal that we had back home. But anyway, my voice is going out a little bit, and you're probably thinking, why did it take so long to do that? If only it had been this morning, right? James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body.
I suppose that first verse is the verse that most folks would not want James to say in their churches, especially if you're an educational director. We don't want many teachers. We've got too many teachers, because we don't have too many teachers, and we're always struggling to get teachers. But it's really a significant text, and we're going to be looking at it for a few moments together this evening. The text begins, "Let not many of you become teachers." Now, that's strange. There are three primary, quote, offices in the church. There are apostles and prophets and teachers. That was the early church, and those were the folks who led the church in many ways. It's really quite interesting because there's an apparent contradiction between this text and the one in Hebrews chapter 5. Here's my Hebrews 5 text. "Concerning him, we have much to say." The him, by the way, there is Melchizedek. He's just been talking about Melchizedek, and says, "I've got a lot to say about him. And it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Notice the church to which the author of Hebrews is writing has lots of folks who ought to be teachers. It's time, it's high time that you folks were teachers. They've been members of the church for a long time. He has some steep things he wants to teach them, some deep things about Melchizedek, a fellow we don't meet very often in our Bibles. But he has some things he wants to teach them, but it's that they're just not ready for it. He says, "It's high time that you were all teachers." He's apparently calling them to be moved beyond being spoon-fed, where folks just have to keep teaching you and teaching you and teaching you. It's high time that you were teachers. And so he's admonishing them. I think this is the kind of admonition that we see in most churches. We have a lot of folks who have been Christians for a long time, and when we're striving to find folks to teach the kids or to teach the adult Bible class, we say, "Oh, we need more teachers. It's high time that you were teachers." So you can kind of understand, I think, what the author of Hebrews is saying. The book of James is a little more difficult, I think, to understand, and I think part of that is because of this, the way he's using the word teachers. This is the rest of that verse in Hebrews, by the way. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant, but solid food is for the mature because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." And that's my text. Here's, though, how I think that word teacher is probably being used. This is from John chapter 1, verse 38. And here John is writing to some folks who are not good Jews. He's writing to folks probably in Ephesus who are Gentiles who've become Christians and who don't know any Hebrew. And so he's going to use a Hebrew word, and he's going to have to explain it. "And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What do you seek?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translated means 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?'" Do you notice the text? "Rabbi," which is translated teacher. I think that may be the way James is using it. James is a book that's very Jewish. In fact, the most Jewish books in our New Testament are probably, in terms of epistles, are probably James and Hebrews. And he may well be using it in a way that his audience would understand that word, rabbi. And some folks want to be rabbis. They'd like to be the folks who stand up front and everybody gets, they get everybody's attention and everybody listens to them and they're the authorities. And he's saying, basically, not many of you ought to be that. Here's another verse. This one shows you a bit of what's going on again. And these are folks, Jesus will say, these folks want respectful greetings in the marketplaces, being called rabbi by men, but do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Again, some folks want to be called rabbi. They want to get that name. They want to be the upfront, stand up front, recognized by everybody, grand teachers. And they're in it for the show. And that may be exactly what James has in mind. Not many of you ought to be teachers. He goes on to say, brethren, knowing that as such you will incur a stricter judgment. You see, James is himself one of those teachers. And notice he says, we will incur a stricter judgment. James is recognizing that he is one of those stand up front, recognized by everybody, great teachers. Everybody wants to hear James teach. They want to hear what James has to say. It's really quite interesting because Josephus, a good Jew who writes a history, but we'll talk about Christians, we'll talk about James as being this teacher recognized by all the Jews. And Hegesippus, an early Christian, will also say that he's a man everybody respects. He is that stand-up front teacher that everybody knows. They love to hear him teach, and he is that kind of person. And so he is admitting that he's one of those kind of people. He goes on to say, we will incur stricter judgment. You see, the folks who are recognized as the scholars, as the teachers, are also responsible in a very real way for their audience. Because if you don't teach the right thing and teach it the right way, you're going to lead those folks astray. And if you lead them astray, you'll receive this stricter judgment. Now, judgment can be used in a negative or a positive way, but here it's being used in a negative way. Jesus will tell this parable of a faithful steward who's put in charge of his slaves' masters, and he goes away, and he will abuse them, and he parties, and he has this grand time, and he says he will receive many lashes because he's not appreciated what's going on. You have to know the will of God. If you're going to be a teacher, you have to take it very seriously. Now, many of you probably have been in Bible classes where the teacher doesn't seem to know the material very well. They've not done their homework. It really frustrates me. Of course, as a teacher, I can get really frustrated easily. But when somebody stands up front to teach and they really haven't done their homework and they don't know what they're talking about, that's terribly troublesome. And so you might sort of paraphrase this section. Don't many of you become stand-up front, brotherhood-known teachers? If you can't control your tongue, don't even think about it. Your teaching must yield peaceable results. You should shoulder the responsibility of your work. If you're going to be a teacher, recognized by folks as a teacher, you need to take it very seriously. You need to understand who you are and what you're about to do. And again, he indicates the significance of that. He goes on to, here's this wonderful text from Mark where you see the same kind of idea from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 and following. Beware of the scribes who walk around with long robes like respectful greetings in the marketplaces, chief seats in the synagogues, and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for appearances' sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Again, if you're in it for the show, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're teaching because you have a message, a godly message that you want folks to understand, and you need to take it very seriously. I think it's one of those messages that those of us who are college teachers especially need to take very seriously, you know, because we're recognized by those students. The students who are sitting in my class will say, okay, Dr. Moss, what's it say? And they want me to tell them what it says. And I really need to know what it says and to be able to respond to that. And all of us who are stand-up front teachers need to take it very seriously. By the way, I'm going to be gone before too long, and the other elders are going to take their turns teaching the adult Bible class. And so we're going to start rotating that around a bit. You may remember that we did that not long ago. I got more than my share as an elder, but we did that with elders taking their turns teaching, because elders are to be teachers, and that becomes important, and we'll be doing that very shortly. He goes on to say, we all stumble in many ways. Do you notice he said we again? We all do it. And so he's putting himself in the situation of those other teachers. And he said, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And so here he's calling them to recognize that we all stumble. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. And if you're going to be a teacher, you're going to mess up sometimes. I'm sorry, you're just going to mess up. But you need to take it very seriously. And James says, I'm taking it very seriously. We all stumble in many ways. We! If anyone doesn't stumble in what he says. It's really quite interesting because we're now going to be shifting gears a bit. You'll remember that he's talked a lot about putting your faith into practice, and that's been what he's talked about a lot in the book of James so far. And now he's going to shift to the tongue. And here is somebody who uses his tongue a lot. Those of us who are preachers, we use our tongue. We say have a lot to say, and we say it a lot. But he's now shifting gears, and he'll do it here, but he'll do it again as we get a little further along. He said it earlier, you may remember, way back in chapter 1, he had said, back in chapter 1, verse 19, we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And then in verse 26, he went on to say that we need to bridle our tongue. And he will even, then again, later on in the book, we move further along, he's going to have a lot to say about the tongue. In fact, in the next section, which I'll cover a couple of weeks from now, he's going to talk about the tongue and the use of the tongue in general for everyone. Here in particular, he's talking about the teachers and as well as the rest of his audience. The emphasis here is on not the number of sins, but the variety of sins. We all stumble in many ways. We all sin in different ways. But one of those ways that we really stumble is in what we say. It's unfortunate, but we often say things that we wish we could take back. You know, you say it and say, why did I say that? But it's after you've said it that you can't hardly take it back. Everybody's heard it. And so now we all sin in many ways. And then he will go on to say, if you don't stumble in what you say, you are a perfect man. Now, he doesn't mean perfect in the term of sinless. Yeah, you know, you're not sinless. Now that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, we understand that. He doesn't mean sinless. He means mature, complete, whole. You're what you ought to be if you can learn to control your tongue. He's able to bridle the whole body as well. And he's going to come back and use that same kind of language in the next section. One of the illustrations he's going to use for using the tongue is the bit in a horse's mouth. If you bridle the horse, you can turn the whole horse with that little bit in his mouth, and you can make it go one way or the other. And so now he's calling about bridling the whole body. If you can control what you say, you can control how you live. Isn't that interesting? What you say affects how you live. It affects how you are, how you're seen by the world around you. And he's prefiguring what he's going to say in the next section when he talks about these wonderful illustrations of using your tongue and using it well. The wise, the religious man is able to bridle his tongue. We saw that back in chapter 1, verse 26. And if he doesn't, he's deceiving himself. You need to avoid false, biting, slanderous language. And we sang that wonderful song, didn't we? John chose a wonderful song for us to sing as we're getting ready for this. It's a song about making sure that we watch what we say. And it's a call for us, again, to be good teachers. Now, again, he says, let not many of you be teachers. It's stand up front, recognized by everybody, the recognized teachers. But we need lots of teachers in the church. All of us are responsible. And the author of Hebrews makes a big deal of it. It's time you were all teachers. You've been Christians for a long time. You know, it's a shame when you see folks who've been Christians for 30, 40 years, and they've never, ever taught anybody anything. Something's missing somewhere. And that's what the author of Hebrews says. James, however, is saying, don't be proud and boastful about it. Be a teacher. Take seriously your task and be the kind of person God would have you to be. I hope that's a meaningful message for you today. It's a short lesson, but it's one I think we need to take to heart. We need lots of teachers, but teachers who will take seriously the task of studying the Word on their own and not just standing up front and just sort of talking. You gotta take it seriously. We're going to sing an invitation song. It may be that we have folks with us this evening who need to respond to that invitation in one way or another, either to confess Jesus as Lord, to be buried in baptism, or perhaps just to turn their life around. They've been living the wrong kind of life. And if you need to come for either of those reasons, would you come as we stand and as we sing?